Hare Krishna. Krishna jinka naam hai. Gokul jinka dham hai. Aise Shri Bhagwan ko barambar pranam hai. Barambar meaning again and again. Pranam obeisances. I offer my obeisances repeatedly unto that personality whose name is Krishna and whose abode is Golok. Krishna jinka naam hai, Gokul jinka naam hai. Aise Shri Bhagavan ko. To that Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my obeisances again and again. So, Bhagavan, what's the meaning of the word Bhagavan? Bhagavan, every Sanskrit word has a root from which the word actually develops. So the root of the word is bhaga, and the suffix is ban. Ban, the word ban indicates that one who has, one who possesses. Like for example, we know the word balavan. How many of you know Hindi here? So balavan, what's the meaning of the word balavan? Bal means? Strength. And bar means one who has. So one who has strength or power is Bhagavan. Dhanavan, what's the meaning of the word Dhanavan? Dhan means?
Well.
And bar means? One who has. So one who has Dhan or wealth is Dhanavan. Gunavan, guna means qualities. So one who has qualities, one who is very qualified, is like yourselves, gunavan. Again, ban is the masculine and bati is the feminine. Like for example, one who has guna, for a male person he will be gunavan. And a female, like many of you, will be gunavati. Gunavati. The one who has qualifications, gunavati. Now you tell me what is the meaning of the word Bhagavan. Who can tell me? Bale bolte bolo. Na ami Hindi theke, English theke jiggesh korchi. Okay, children. Dhanavan means one who has wealth. Or one who has dhan. Gunavan is one who has gun or quality, qualification. Balavan means one who has strength. Now you tell me what's the meaning of the word Bhagavan. Well, in simple words, one who is bhaga, right? Dhanavan means one who is dhan. Balavan means one who is bal. So tell me now, what's the meaning of the word bhagavan? One who is bhaga. Bhaga. Now the question is, what's the meaning of the word bhaga? Now you tell me, Divak.
The one who is all the, one who is full in wealth, knowledge.
Yeah, bhagavan means complete possession of six opulences. Right? Six opulences. So, what are the six opulences? As you were saying, One was all the wealth. One is wealth. Out of six, one is wealth. Then the next is strength. Then the third one is fame. Fourth one is beauty. Fifth one is knowledge. And sixth one,
renunciation.
So these six qualities or six kinds of wealth is known as bhaga. In Sanskrit, it has been defined as or explained as aisharyasya, samagrasya, virgasya, jashasya, shriya, jnana, vaira, gayaschetva, shannam iti bhagavata. Sat means six. So these six qualities are called bhaga. All the wealth. Is there anyone who can say that he has all the wealth? There are many wealthy people, but can anybody say that he has all the wealth? Who is the wealthiest person in America? Okay, whoever. You know better than me. Can he claim that he has all the wealth? Can anybody claim that he has all the strength? Do you know anyone who can say that he has all the strength? There are many powerful people, many strong persons. But can anyone claim that he has all the strength? There are many famous people. Can anyone say that he has all the fame? There are many beautiful people. Can he say that he has all the beauty? There are many wise people, knowledgeable people. Can anyone say that he has all the knowledge? And there are many renounced personalities, but can anyone say that he has all renunciation? No. Even out of this, if even one, no one can claim to have. But the one who has all these six qualities, six opulences, he is Bhagavan. Now, who is he? I mean, as we consider that there is no one who can even claim one of them, what to speak of all six of them. Is there anybody? Our scriptures are saying yes. And who is he? His definition has been given as Ekam Eva Aditya Paraha Purusha. Ekam means he is the only one. Only Ekam. And Aditya means where there is no equal to him. No one is equal to him. Ekam eva aditya. Ditya means second. And aditya means no second. There is no one equal to him. And Parama Purusha. Parama Purusha means supreme person. He is the one and only one who has no equal. That supreme person. So who is Bhagavan? So do you get a clear understanding who is Bhagavan? Like, if somebody comes and says that he is Bhagavan, then what will be our challenge? Do you have all the wealth? Do you have all the strength? Do you have all the beauty? Do you have all the fame? All knowledge and all renunciation. If you don't have, then you cannot claim that you are Bhagavan. But the personality, the supreme personality, Bhagavan. Now, what's his name? Did you forget already? What's his name? Krishna Jinki? No. Jai Shri Shri Radha Radha Jai Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Bhagavad Sadasamana Jai Shri Shri Goni Nai. So now Krishna, he has all the wealth. Why does he have all the wealth? Because he's the supreme proprietor. He owns everything. Who owns everything? Krishna. Is he most powerful? Because he has all the strength. Is he the most beautiful? He's all attractive. Whoever sees him falls in love with him. Is he famous? His fame has always been there. Who is more famous than him? No one is as famous as he is. He is worshipped all over the world. He is worshipped everywhere. Not only in this planet, but everywhere. The higher planets, the demigods are worshipping him all the way up to Brahma. In the spiritual sky, all the associates are worshipping him. So he is the supreme worshipper of God. And he has all the knowledge. Since he is the supreme creator, he knows everything. And in spite of having everything, all the wealth, all the strength, etc., he is absolutely renounced. He is not at all attached. So now you know who is Bhagavan. So in English, we don't have proper expression for that word, Bhagavan. There is a word, God. But God doesn't have the proper definition, the expression God. Because there are so many gods. Actually, there are, in Vedic culture also, there are many gods. Like Indra Dev, Chandra Dev, Varun Dev. They are devtas. None of them are Bhagavan, but Krishna is Bhagavan. So now, when we use the expression, then we have to describe Indra, Chandra, Varun, etc. also as God. And Krishna is also God. So, Prabhupada identified Krishna in a proper way as the Supreme Personality. He is not only God, he is the Supreme God. Supreme Personality. And devtas, Prabhupada described as, in English, as demigods. Demigods or semi-god. Almost like God, but they are not fully the Supreme Personality. So, did you get to know who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead now? This song is very beautiful actually. This one song describes everything very clearly. So Krishna jinka naam hai, Gokul jinka dham hai, aise shri, Bhagwan ko kya karna chahiye? Barambar. When you come to the temple, what do we do? Pranam means what? I'm surrendering myself to you. I'm offering myself to you. You are the greatest, and I'm surrendering myself to you. So those who believe in God, they naturally surrender unto him or offer pranam unto him. Then the next stanza goes like, Jashoda Jinki Maya. The Lord performs his pastimes. And in his pastimes, Jashoda he has come as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda. Krishna, these are his pastimes. Pastimes means the Lord has his exchange with his devotees. He plays with his devotees. And one of the qualities of the Lord is that when a devotee desires something, he fulfills that desire. Sometimes the devotee desires that, I want to have you as my son. Then Krishna is fine. Sometimes devotee says, I want you as my friend. Krishna says, fine. Sometimes devotee says, I want to have you as my husband. Krishna says, fine. So this is how Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. And in this way, appearing and performing his pastimes, Krishna fulfills his desire, the devotee's desires. So in his pastimes, we are seeing Yashoda, Janaki, Maitreyi. Krishna is the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Where? In Gokul, Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna is playing the role of the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Therefore, Yashoda jinki maiya hai, Nanda ji bapaiya hai. Aise Shri Gopal ko. Krishna has many names according to his activities and pastimes. He is tending the cows. His main business in Vrindavan is to tend the cows, take care of the cows. Therefore, he is Gopal, one who maintains the cows, one who protects the cows, one who takes care of the cows. So, as says Shri Gopal Go, Barbar Pranam. Another pastime of Krishna. Radha Jinki Jaya. Srimati Radha Rani is his beloved consort. Jaya. Radha Jinki Jaya hai. And Adbhut Jinki Maya hai. His bewildering potency is very, very wonderful. Adbhut means wonderful. Adbhut, no? Maya, his illusory potency is extremely wonderful. Adbhut jinki maya hai. Aise shri Ghanashyam. Another name of Krishna, Ghanashyam, because his bodily complexion is like monsoon cloud. Ghanashyam. Shyam Sundar. Aise Shri Ghanashyam ko Baranbar. Now, although he is the supreme personality of Godhead, he is the supreme controller, he is the supreme maintainer, and although he possesses everything, look what he is doing. He is stealing makhan. He is stealing butter. And gwal bal sad dhenu charayo. Throughout the day, he is tending the cows with the cowherd boys. Gwalbal means cowherd boys. With the cowherd boys, he is tending the cows throughout the day. Luta luta gadhi makhan khayo. Gwalbal sam dhenu chadayo. Aise lila dham ko varibar pradham. Lila dham, the personality who is performing his pastimes. Does a very rich man have to tend the cows with him? But Krishna is doing that. Why Krishna is doing that? Because Krishna wants to have this loving exchange in friendship, in marital and in conjugal relationship. These pastimes, these activities are not possible in Vaikuntha. Because if a devotee knows that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can he treat him like a friend? Because a friendship is among the equal. Who can become equal to God? Like, say for example, can you go to say a very exalted person and put your hand around his shoulder and say, "Hey friend, how are you doing?" Can you do that to Donald Trump? "Hi Donald, how are you doing?" You can't do that. But Donald Trump has his friends. They can do that. Right? And their dealings are like equals. But when you see him as, when you know that he's the president of this country, we cannot treat him. Those who are equal to him, they can do that. Then similarly, can anybody go and treat him as his mother or father? But his mother and father can do that. So in order to have friendship, there has to be equality. In order to have superiority, but who can become superior to Krishna? And the relationship with the cowherd girls, he is like a boyfriend. So this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cannot possibly have friendship with anybody. But nobody can become equal to him, but can he become equal to somebody if he wants to? If he wants, can he become inferior to somebody? Right? If he wants, then he can. But in Vaikuntha, everybody knows him as the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, in Vaikuntha, these relationships are not available. These relationships are possible only in because there Krishna is a common boy. So what's he doing? Gwal Valsam Dhenu Chanayo. He's playing with the cowherd boys, tending the cows. You may not become equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but can you become equal to a cowherd boy? There is no problem. To become equal to a cowherd boy, there is no problem. To become superior to a cowherd boy, there is no problem. Although, to become equal to or superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not possible. So, Vrindavan is the place where Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a cowherd boy. And the devotees in Vrindavan are dealing with Krishna in friendship, in parental loving relationship, and in conjugal loving relationship. So, that is the specialty of Gokul. In Gokul, he is having his loving exchange with the cowherd damsels, headed by Srimati Radharani. In Gokul, he is playing with the friends, cowherd boys, Gwal Valsam, and what's he doing from morning till night? Dhenu Chanayo. But while he is tending the cows, what he is doing? He is performing his most wonderful pastimes. These pastimes are giving extreme delight in the hearts of the devotees. In Vrindavan, Vrindavan, sometimes some demons come. When the demons come, everybody feels very worried, very afraid, because that situation is very distressful. So when you become afraid and when you become distressed, it seems that there is no way you can get out of the situation. Then what Krishna does? Krishna saves you from that situation. And then, as a result of that, you recognize how great Krishna is and you tend to depend upon Krishna. Like, how many of you remember Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes? The demons are coming, or some dangerous situation is created by some demon. There is a demon who came in the form of a forest fire. Davagni. So the boys with Krishna attending the cows, then all of a sudden there's a forest fire. Just lit up. And not only from one side, all four sides. Fire. So can you imagine yourself in that situation, in the middle of a forest fire? And in extreme anxiety, what did they do? When the devotee is in distress, what does he do? When the devotee is in distress, right? He just depends upon Krishna. And then what did Krishna do? Krishna said, close your eyes. And they closed their eyes, and Krishna just swallowed the forest in no time. Now the question is, can Krishna do that? Can Krishna do that? And that is where Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then they open the eyes. Forest fire is gone. In this way, time and time again, there are so many difficulties in Vrindavan, and Krishna always save. The demons came to kill Krishna actually. Kamsa was sending these very, very powerful demons. These demons were so powerful that even the demigods couldn't deal with them. But Krishna just killed them effortlessly. Krishna was just about 1 year old. A demon came in the form of a whirlwind, in the form of a tornado. Today I saw the little notice, the tornado warning. I don't know where it was, but just it appeared in my phone. So when the tornado comes, then what happens? It takes things way out in the sky. So this demon, his name was Trinavarta. He came and just picked up Krishna. His idea was to kill Krishna. He would take him to a great height and drop him from there, and Krishna would kill him. And this is how he would kill Krishna. And he did that. And he came in a way as a whirlwind, and everywhere the dust were flying, the broken pieces of grass, and everything was flying, dried up pieces of grass, and everything became blinded because of that. Everyone became blinded; they couldn't see anything. And he came and just picked up Krishna and went high up in the sky. His intention was to drop Krishna from that height. Now mind you, Krishna was just 1 year old. And what did Krishna do? Krishna just put his arm around his neck. So when somebody picks you up, it's a natural thing, especially a child. Puts his arm around his neck. And then his arm started to tighten. Became tighter and tighter and tighter. And as a result of that, what happened to Trinavarta, the demon? He got choked. Like a vice, it started to choke him. And he tried to get rid of this little boy, little baby. But no matter how hard he tried, although he was such a powerful demon, Krishna was just 1-year-old baby, he couldn't free himself from the clutches of Krishna. And losing all his strength, the demon fell. He wanted to drop Krishna from the great height, but what actually happened? He himself fell from the great height. And where did he fall? On a huge boulder, huge piece of stone. And Trinavarta was dead. So, now the question is, can Krishna do that? Or are these just some stories or fairy tales? Are these fairy tales or factual? Now the question is it difficult for Krishna to do it? Is it difficult for the Supreme? If we believe that Supreme Personality of Godhead is there, now how many of you believe in God, the existence of God? How many of you do? What happened to many hands here? Okay. Yeah, so if we believe in Him, then who is He? Is basic understanding it? He is the Supreme Creator. He created everything. Who created everything? God. He is the Supreme Controller. He is the Supreme Powerful, as you said. He possesses all strength. And His strength is so wonderful that by His just, without even touching, He is making all these huge innumerable universes float into space. Don't you see that? Like all the stars and planets? Where are they? When you see them in the sky, are they propped up with something? Or are they just floating in the space? So can you imagine this huge planets, huge planetary systems are floating like that? Who made this arrangement? So the personality who can make that for him to kill a demon like Trinavarta is difficult at all? No. Actually to kill Trinavarta he didn't even have to put his arm around his neck. To kill such a demon Krishna just said, die. Don't you know the expression, God said there was light and let there be light, and there was light. He just said, let there be light, and there was light. So that's how things happen with him. Just by his desire. But these are his pastimes. If Krishna did not perform such pastimes, could we understand how wonderful Krishna is? Just in order to make us realize how wonderful He is, just in order to make us recognize His wonderful qualities and abilities that Krishna performs as pastimes. Who can be equal to Him? But the demons stand against Him. Now this way we can see, who is the demon? A very clear definition of demon we get here. Is those who are opposed to God is demon. Like Kamsa. What he wanted? He wanted to kill God. He wanted to kill Krishna. So there are two expressions. One is Sura, means the demigods, devas, devta, and Asura, or demon. So, those who are devotees of Krishna, they are Suras, and Asuras Tatva Vashtira. And those who are opposed to Krishna, they are Asuras. Sura and Asura. Suras are those who are submissive to Krishna or devoted to Krishna, they are Suras. And those who are opposed to Krishna, enemical to Krishna, they are Asuras. And they try to kill Krishna, but can they kill Krishna? Kamsa made so many arrangements. Kamsa sent so many powerful, extremely powerful demons. Like Putana, Trinavarta, Agasura, Pakasura, Adishthasura, Keshi. One after another, he sent all these demons. But he couldn't kill. So finally he decided, okay, we'll bring him to Mathura, his capital. And there, getting him within his clutches, he'll kill Krishna when he'll be surrounded by all these powerful allies of Kamsa. And he made one of them another very powerful arrangements. When Krishna would come, there's an elephant called Kuvala appear. Extremely powerful and wild elephant. And the idea was to trample Krishna by this elephant. But what did Krishna do? Krishna played with the elephant for a while. The elephant charged at him. Krishna grabbed the elephant by his trunk and pulled it so hard that it just fell on the ground. He became extremely angry at the elephant, stood up. And Krishna went under his belly. He couldn't find Krishna. He started to circle around. And then, in this way, Krishna played with him. He went behind the elephant, and this time he grabbed him by his tail and pulled him. And again, this time not only it fell, he just went flying. Isn't it wonderful to see just a 14-year-old boy dealing with an elephant, huge elephant like that? So this is how the devotees get the delight and pleasure by seeing this wonderful pastime of Krishna. Then finally, what did Krishna do? Krishna grabbed the elephant by his tusk and he just pulled it and it fell on the ground. And Krishna pulled the tusk out of the elephant. And with that tusk, he started to beat the elephant. And the elephant died. Krishna was invited to wrestle him out. So Krishna took one tusk as a trophy, Balaram took the other tusk of Kuvalayapira as a trophy, and they walked into the wrestling arena. And that arena was like a stadium. Kamsa was sitting up there, surrounded by many other kings who were his friends, and the whole place was filled. And the description is very beautiful. Like Krishna's face was already decorated with sandal pulp. Sandal, yes. And from this elephant, when he killed the elephant, some blood came out from the elephant. And those bloods were also decorating his face. And he, with the trophy, with the tusk in his hand, he walked in there. And then he had to fight. He went to the arena, wrestling arena. And in that arena there were two huge giants, Chalura and Mushtika. And people people started to complain. What is this? The wrestling takes place among equals. Now what kind of a match, wrestling match is this? In one side there's a huge giant, and on the other side there is just a 14, 15 year old boy. Two boys. But Krishna didn't pay anything. Okay, come, let's fight. And there was a huge fight between Krishna. Krishna was fighting with Chandra, Balaram was fighting with Mushtika. And they fought for a while, entertaining. Everyone was so excited. Sometimes Krishna is in the grip of that Chandra, and it seems that Chandra is winning, and they were, those were devotees, they were in acute anxiety. And Balaram also was being attacked by Mushtika, and they were crying out in anxiety, what will happen to this boy now? But then, finally what happened after this long bout, Krishna picked up Chandra. With his both hands, he picked him up and he started to twist him. And by the time Chandra's life here was almost in his throat. And then Krishna was smashed him. Now mind you, Krishna, when he was 7 years old, he lifted Govardhan with his left hand and held it for 7 days on his little finger. So the person who can do that, what's the big deal for him to pick up this insignificant wrestler? Chandra was dead, and Balaram also got excited. Balaram grabbed him by his leg and started to also swing him overhead and then smashed him on the ground. Both Chandra and Mushtika were dead. Then Chandra and Mushtika had three other brothers, Kuta, Shal, and Tushar. They came and attacked, and one of them, they were also killed. Then the other wrestlers, some of them came to fight with Krishna and Balaram, and they were dead, and others ran away. So seeing the situation, Kamsa became extremely upset. Standing up on the dais, he just started to shout, throw him out of here, banish him from here. And those who were supporting him, arrest them. Kill Ugrasen, because he was supporter of Krishna. Kill Vasudeva, he would take the key. So when Kamsa was shouting like that, it was for him in a high platform, like a high on the stadium. So what did Krishna do? He jumped up onto that. So Kamsa by that time took up a shield and a sword. Now he is going to attack Krishna. Krishna is just bare hands. What did Krishna do? When Kamsa swung the sword, he ducked it and then slapped Kamsa on the face. Kamsa's crown went flying. And he became dizzy, just the slap of Krishna. You can really imagine when the Supreme Personality of Godhead slaps you, what's going to be the effect of that? And then Krishna grabbed Kamsa. The Kshatriyas, those dudes used to have, just like the Sikhs, have long hair. They never used to cut, because that hair used to act as a helmet. That's why the Sikhs have, they're warriors. That's why they keep their hair. So Kamsa's hair became loose just by the slap of Krishna. So then Krishna caught him by his hair, and then he jumped from that the high platform, came onto the, landed on the wrestling area, and there, just by hitting Krishna, Kamsa, Krishna killed him. Kamsa with his bare hands. imagine how everyone felt? Those who are Kamsa's allies, they kind of tried to attack Krishna. And those who are Krishna's friends, Krishna's devotees, they started to dance in ecstasy. Krishna has killed Kamsa. Krishna has killed Kamsa. How are you feeling now? Aren't you feeling great excitement? How wonderfully Krishna killed Kamsa. So this is how Krishna performs his pastimes, just to give pleasure to his devotees. Iti triksha lila bhir ananda bhunde shaukarsham nivanchantam akharapayam. In this way, by performing his pastimes, swalila bhir, he drowns his devotees in the ocean of ecstasy. Ananda bhunde Shakosham, Nimajanta, Nimajanta drowns. Krishna drowns his devotees in an ocean of joy. So that is how wonderful Krishna is. Now, if at all we have to take shelter of somebody, whose shelter should we take? The Supreme Personality, the Supreme Powerful. And he is our dear most friend. Suridam Sarvabhutana. Krishna himself is saying, I am the dear most friend of every living entity. So when we have a friend like that, who is the most powerful, who is most opulent, and who is most beautiful, so why can't we get attracted by him? Don't you become attracted to beauty? And he is the most beautiful. So it's so easy to become attracted by him. It's so easy to depend upon him because he is announcing, I am your friend. And whenever you are in distress, you can depend upon me. I will be there. So in this way, we give the supreme shelter. Especially at a time of distress, what should we do? Just Krishna, please. In this most difficult situation, when it is absolutely hopeless, I am taking shelter of you. Please, help me. Please do whatever you want to do. So, I say Sri Bhagavan ko. Thank you all very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes?
Question hai ki Dwapar aur Treta Yug mein jab Ram avatar hue Krishna avatar, so what is the difference?
Ram avatar Bhagavan ko avatar bolte hain. Should I speak in Hindi or English? Okay, let me speak in English. She is asking that in Treta Yuga Lord appeared as Ramchandra. And what's the difference between Krishna and Ramchandra? Avatar, the Supreme Personality of God, in expands himself. They are called avatar. And Ramchandra is one of his avatars where he came to establish the principle of dharma. Therefore he is Marjada Purushottama. Purushottama, the Supreme Personality, who came to establish the Marjada of dharma. Whereas Krishna is the Leela Purushottama. Ramchandra is Marjada Purushottama, Krishna is the Leela Purushottama. Any other question? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. You had a very wonderful lecture. We enjoyed it. Actually, Prabhupada came and he's coming to spread Krishna prayer. And we have looked in his books, in the lectures, whenever we find any problems. And since you are right now as a chair of the commission to look after ISKCON, difficulty has come that ISKCON some ISKCON gurus, Western gurus, are feeling afraid that ISKCON is being Indianized. And to that extent, one of the gurus has started this Krishna West to preach in his way, giving up sannyas dress, tilak, country, other things, which is very disturbing to us, because that's what Prabhupada, that's the heart of peace. So, I do not know whether that guru is still the BBC sanctioned guru, or has ISKCON taken any cognizance or action regarding this matter.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you very much also for your concern for ISKCON movement. You see, there was a time when it was all in ignorance. Right? And now another time came, like, it goes like a wave. Like one wave was all Americans or all Europeans. And now is the wave of all Indians. It's a part of movement. When things move, it moves like that. In waves. Everything moves in waves. Light moves in waves, sound moves in waves, water moves in waves. So, we are not concerned about, you know, the Indian. Actually, aren't we happy that Indians are coming forward? Naturally, they're happy. And actually, our movement was going through a difficult phase. You know, ISKCON had gone through many problems. And that's the time all the Indians came forward to give prayer. And that's why our movement actually survived. So we have to be thankful to the Indian support. But our objective is that it should become international. Everybody should be involved. And when this kind of mentality develops, you know, all Indians, there has to be Western emphasis. In ISKCON, actually, it is not appreciated. And the ISKCON GBC is dealing with it. Dealing with that in a subtle way, so that it doesn't cause too much damage. But we're dealing with that. You will see that Krishna West is not so prominent nowadays. And we told, okay, if you want to do Krishna West, take certain area, do it, and show you what you can do. And then we will see. Right? And the awareness has been created, like, you know, you can see, like, as you are expressing your concern, many individuals are concerned about this. And they are not getting the support. And they are, you know, like, actually when they preach, due to our preaching, everybody will come. When Prabhupada was preaching, Prabhupada was not preaching only for the Americans. Prabhupada went to different other countries. Prabhupada went to Africa. Prabhupada went to America. Prabhupada went to India. Everywhere he went, and he invited everyone to come and join. So that is what Prabhupada wanted. We should follow that mood.
In past, a lot of ISKCON gurus have been expelled. So his activity, do you think it amounts to that level?
The thing is, as I said, he may get some support from some individuals, but from leadership he's not getting the support. His own leadership is not.
Sorry, Maharaj, to interrupt a little. If he has any, there's some managerial questions, they can be
Listen, Makancha, don't patronize Prabhu Maharaj. He's dear, you are nowhere to speak.
Yeah, right. Okay. Like I'm answering the question, why are you different?
It's not managerial, it's a fact that the spiritual life wrote on the board.
Anyway, so.
If you don't mind, don't answer. I don't.
Anyway, I gave you the answer, right? And as I said, like, you know, yes, when there is some problem, we deal with that.
Excuse me, Prabhuji. We have a problem in Mississippi. Our guru told that, you know, and I got very upset. We have fight with him. So I want to know, I have to keep that guru or not.
What's question, then we can chant.